The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Monday, June 24th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, with you in the studio for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Alongside me in the studio, as he is every Monday, is Uncle T-Bone, your favorite uncle back in town. Great to see you, my man. We will get into so many things in the sports world, but hope everybody had a great weekend, and I hope you had a great weekend as well, my friend.
I had a great weekend. Happy to be back on the plains. Took a quick trip for a wedding up into the mountains of North Carolina. When I left yesterday, the high there was 74 degrees, and by the time I got back to Auburn, it was 100. So it was a little bit of a reality check, not to do the weather here today, but thank goodness we got a nice little rainstorm that was badly needed. We were beginning to kind of inch into drought, you know, time, and that's just no bueno when it's this hot. It's suffocating. So, but glad to be back. It's always glad to be back on ESPN 106.7 on the line, Auburn Opelika, the show that tells it like it is and holds nothing back. Give us a call at 334-321-1390. I think that we've officially, now that this was really the last big weekend of recruiting until the dead period, perhaps for Auburn until Big Cat weekend comes around in July, we've, with the College Baseball World Series wrapping up, you know, the NBA is over with, thank goodness. The NHL is about to be over with, which will be an exciting game tonight. I have to watch Game 7 tonight. But we've officially hit just about the slow season.
Yeah, and, you know, the recruiting dead period starts today. It starts today on June 24th. It'll run through July 24th, so you have a month of the dead period. That does not mean that news will not be happening. That does not mean that there is not going to be recruiting things to talk about, but it is the true off season where you've got coaches taking vacations, you've got radio talent taking vacations, you got all sorts of people going out and doing their thing.
That's more important than the coaches.
I mean, that's that
fact.
That's what they say. I don't know. You've got just not a whole lot of things happening, but this is the fun time of year because, you know, some people are like, oh, it's the off season, it's talking season, what, there's nothing to talk about, there's nothing to say, why would I tune in, why would I care? But I embrace it, Uncle T-Bone. I embrace a time like this because this is where you get to do my favorite thing. You get to say and ask the question, well, what if, right?
Sure.
What if this happens, or what if this doesn't happen, or what if this team beats this team, or what if this dude breaks his arm? Like, all of these types of things, those are the conversations you get to have for the next couple of weeks. And it won't be very long because you've got SEC Media Days coming up in July,
right,
which ESPN 106.7 will be at once again. We'll be in Dallas, Texas this year. So excited to be there for that. Doug for the Max Roundtable. I will be there for On the Line, and Dan Peck will be there for the drive. And then once that happens, man, fall practice starts just a few weeks after that. Big Cat weekend squeezed in between there too, and then bang, it's football season just like that. So while it may be officially the dead period today, there is recruiting news to talk about, Uncle T-Bone, and that's what we need to get to. I was able to talk a lot about a particular person on Friday with Alvin Henderson flipping from Penn State to Auburn. More thoughts. I know you've got thoughts on that. Plus recruiting news, more recruiting news for Auburn, and even some stuff going on across the state, too, that I think we need to have some comments on as well. So that's coming up for you today. Plus, we are going to talk a little what's going going on around the world of sports. You mentioned it already. College World Series wrapping up tonight. Game 3, which is the Game 7 of that type of series. Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals for hockey. And Scottie Scheffler wins him another one. He's just on a tear. He wins another golf tournament. Same different week, same story for him. And then coming up later in the show, Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network will join us. Lots to catch up on with him. Excited to get his thoughts on some softball news, a little football things as well. So lots to get to with Jacob Hillman later on today. As he mentioned, though, you can give us a call, 334-321-1390. You can also text us in the on-the-line text box, 334-784-1067. And let's start with where we left off on Friday. Where I left off on Friday was the big news of Alvin Henderson, the running back, four-star running back who's been committed to Penn State for a couple of months. He flipped his commitment to Auburn. He's very excited about it. You could hear him and see him. He's got quotes. He was on different shows, things like that. He is very excited to be coming to Auburn. He believes this is where he wants to be. And Uncle T-Bone, this is a huge get for Hugh Freeze and this entire staff, Alvin Henderson flipping from Penn State to Auburn.
Yeah, I just feel like that Auburn's been recruiting this guy for like 3 years now, it seems like. And if when he committed to all places at Penn State, it was a little bit of a shocker. You know, I could have understood Georgia or Florida State, who had been all over him, or Alabama being all over him, being in state. You know, Rivals has him ranked as the number three player in the state, 36th national running back or player in the nation, number three at his position, 5'10", 190, runs with some power. We got the word from our man down in Enterprise at the text hotline to keep an eye out for him after Eric Winter's committee. Also had some words about Zion Grady as well. We'll have news on him today, and that's not necessarily good news for Auburn, but I'm not so sure that's necessarily bad news either. I think there's a lot to that story, him committing to Iowa State, the defense been down there. But Alvin Henderson, a huge get. I believe that Auburn will take two running backs in this cycle. And like Hugh Freeze, this guy has been his guy. He's been after him since he's been here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Carnell was here, he was recruiting him. When Carnell left, the running backs coach now is recruiting him. And Hugh Freeze and that entire staff has been recruiting him since day one if they've been on the staff.
Yeah.
They circled him. This is the type player that, like when Tommy Tuberville came in and circled Cadillac Williams and said, "We got to get him. I don't care what it takes. That's our tailback of the future." And I believe this is what happened here. And look, it's a huge commitment. It's not a signee yet. Anything can happen in today's college football world. I want people to remember that. There's a lot of excitement all over the South with teams with big commitments and moving up the rankings. Auburn on Rivals, and I'll just use them. Maybe you can use On Three. Auburn on Rivals is now the number six ranked recruiting class in the country, and that's great, and that's where you want to be. Across the state, Alabama's at three. That's where you want to be. You want to be moving up into the – yeah, you want to be moving up. As you get closer to July and the start of high, because there's going to be a lot of commitments in July, Jacob, all across the country, because a lot of players just want to get it over with and focus on their senior season. But that doesn't mean they're going to stop being recruited.
Yeah, that's right.
But look at Auburn, man. I can tell you this. Hugh Freeze has done nothing but a fantastic job with his staff since the very first day foot hit tarmac off the plane when he came in on that foggy night, recruiting-wise.
And it shows with a commitment like Alvin Henderson. And, you know, you brought up the point of him committing to Penn State originally. And, you know, as weird as it seemed, like, that's still a historic program. That's still a place that's had some legendary running backs go through there.
You think?
And
we saw how historic they were a couple years ago when they sent Brian Harsin packing.
Yeah, you better believe it. And so
that's embarrassed us.
It's a good program to commit to. It just it never seemed legit's not the word, but it never seemed authentic. I think that's the word I'm looking for.
Great description.
It never seemed authentic for, and you know what? I think Penn State people would tell you that too. I think Penn State people would even tell you, "Yeah, I mean, he was committed here, but I don't know how legit it was," or anything like that. And here we are, right, just a few months later, and he's committed to play for Auburn. And, yeah, depending on what site you look at, On3 and 247, wherever. I mean, Auburn has a top five class, I think. I mean, they have a top five class in the country. When it happened, they were fourth on 247. So you can basically say they're a top five class in the country. And the message that I have for people, which a lot of people are saying this too, is there's a long way to go. There's a long time between right now on June 24th and the middle, early December with the early signing day when pen hits paper. Like, there's a lot that can happen between now and then. But you bring up, too, the fact that so many players nowadays, football and basketball, they're committing before their senior season and they're locking it down. They're saying, all right, I'm done. I don't want to deal with this anymore, because it's a lot. I mean, it's a lot to deal with. And
it used to be with National Signing Day, the first Wednesday in February, you could play your season, and then you'd have a couple of months to take all your official visits. Well, signing day now is in December, the first couple of weeks of December, where it's kind of jumping around, and they call it early signing period. We all know it's the de facto signing day. Like 85% of your class, maybe 90 signs then. Maybe even all of them for some schools. So when are they going to take the visits? Before the season, you're not going to be taking official visits very often while you're playing a season. Now, you're going to go to some games, but you're going to go ahead and get the legwork of your recruitment done April, May, and June. And that's another reason why you say, all right, well, I've seen my five schools. You know, my five schools may or may not have paid me $3,000 to $5,000 in cash to come visit, maybe even a little bit more to commit. And I had to, you know, give them a 2-month guarantee. I don't know how it works these days, but you're seeing a lot of people from committing to a lot of weird places out of the South. USC, Penn State, great programs.
Ohio State,
which seems to be a little bit more authentic in some of their gets out of the South. But is it really truly authentic when it comes to signing day? I like how you describe that. That's a good way to put it. So, yeah, I mean, with the shift in the calendar, people just want to focus on football, making sure the grades are right so they can get out and get on with their lives.
And I don't blame them. And, you know, think about how tough it is to go play a football game on Friday night and then you're going to take an official visit somewhere on a Saturday. Like, yeah, that's tough. Like, you don't want to do that. You don't want to mess with that.
These kids are resilient and young enough still and fans of the game so much like we were when we were that age. They're hyped about going to a game. But most of the time, they're not going to travel across the country to Los Angeles after playing Friday night to go see the Trojans host UCLA.
Right, exactly.
They're going to ride up the road to Tuscaloosa or Auburn multiple times because they're going to get tickets, or Athens or Tallahassee, you know, or Gainesville, because it's close. But, you know, these guys who are going to Penn State, Ohio State, and USC, they're going to take those visits this time of year.
Which is why, you're seeing so many of these players, like an Alvin Henderson, commit and make their decision before the season starts. Now, I do believe that once high school football starts, which it fluctuates depending on where you are, but for the state of Alabama, it's mid-August, right? Mid-August is when the season really gets cranked up. Most schools, it's that, you know, August 23rd.
They'll really start practicing here shortly.
Yeah, oh yeah, summer practices.
So once that starts too, that's a whole different ballgame.
You're right about that. And so I think it's safe to say that once you get into September, the verbal commits that a school has, let's take Auburn or Alabama for example, I think you're okay to have a pretty good feeling that most of those guys are going to be signing with you in December or February if they want to wait that long, but if they're committed, they probably won't. But there is still going to be situations, Uncle Tebow, where you have guys change their minds, where you have late players come in, and by players in this instance, I'm talking coaches and programs, that make that late night phone call on the morning of at 2 a.m., right? When others are around, sitting around playing video games with them and hosting them for parties and things like that, you're still going to have guys flip on signing day. I don't think that's going anywhere. I don't think that's leaving, but I do believe that it will happen less.
The threat of it happening is far, far less likely than it used to be. And I'm with you. I don't know if it's a calendar thing or it's an NIL thing or what, but it just doesn't seem like that you know, signing day bonanza that a few schools used to really focus on, where they can rub it in their rivals' faces, and all of a sudden, you know, Alabama or Georgia won signing day, and they got, like, you know, five guys on ESPN that were committed to somewhere else flip and take the hat or take a bulldog puppy out of their out of their duffel bag or whatever it was. Yeah. That's just not that big of a production anymore.
Well, I think it's just not
that big a deal.
Yeah, I think so many kids have already made their decision, right? Because even when I was growing up, like, you would have so many of the top 100 players where you didn't know where they were going. Like, it was down to Auburn and LSU and Georgia. Right, and then you'd have that kid show up, and he'd go and do his signing. He'd pick his school. He would commit right there, and then he would sign. But nowadays, you have a much better idea of where these kids are going. Now, I think the late signing day shenanigans come in when extra cash just happens to show up, which is now legal, of course. But I think that's how a lot of this is going to play out, too. But a lot of these kids just know, okay, I know my role. I know what I'm getting from these schools, and here we go. I'm ready to commit.
I agree with that totally. I mean, I think that I had a good friend of mine who follows this stuff far more hardcore than I do, and he's like, the way the game has changed now is this time of year or leading up to right now, these last month and a half, he almost called it the bidding process.
Sure.
This is where these kids start learning their value.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to go out to USC, and I'm going to get an X offer, and then all of a sudden I'm going to go over to LSU.
I'm going to get a quote.
I love it. I'm going to get a quote plus one. And then you see these guys like Caleb Cunningham, the number one wide receiver in the country, who not 2 weeks ago told everybody on earth Auburn was number one. Best place he's ever been. And this was like a week after he said that Florida was, and then a week after he said that Ole Miss was. And now he goes to Tuscaloosa this weekend. Oh, it's the best place I've ever been. And it's like, you know, what's happening here is the price tag on each visit getting more and more? Is the quote getting higher? And that's why it's getting better?
I mean,
but, you know, and if it's that great and they're number one, it's like I said 2 weeks ago when he said, well, if you love Auburn that much, why don't you just commit?
He's getting those extra quotes, baby.
Got to get an extra. I got to see what else is around the corner.
Let's take our first break here in hour number one. Lots more to talk about on the recruiting side of things. Talk a little bit more about Alvin Henderson in particular. Talk about some other things from this past weekend. Cunningham's definitely one that we need to talk about. Zion Grady is another one as well. We're off and running here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
We continue on here on the Monday edition of On the Line, just into hour number one, as we've been talking some recruiting things for Auburn football, and I want to talk Alvin Henderson in particular for just a few minutes, because you start looking at the kid, and he's a really, really good player, and there are other fan bases that want to go out and say he's too small, he's not big enough, he's not built for the SEC. Well, I just think they're wrong. I think they're wrong. He's 5'10", he's going to put on a little bit more muscle. And it's pretty well known that Auburn wants to take at least two running backs in this class. And this is their speed and agility guy. This is not their massive bowling ball type of running back. That's not what he is. And he's not branded that way. They're not going to use him that way. He's going to be your Damari Alston type of player, where he's just going to outrun everybody, and he's going to juke you out, he's going to shift around, and he's just going to be a really dynamic player that Auburn's going to be able to use. And that's why they went after a guy like Alvin Henderson, which all these other programs wanted. Don't let them
Who's
tell you they
didn't. That garbage?
You know.
The usual suspects.
Yeah, I'll let people fill in the blanks on that one.
Well, I mean, I'm just kind of looking at his dossier over there on Rivals at AuburnSports.com in their recruiting area. And, I mean, you can go to any of these sites. They're all fantastic. But let's see. He had 14 visits to 14 visits in 3 years to Auburn. That's incredible. That is staying on somebody. 7 to Bama, 6 to Florida State, 2 to Georgia, and 1 to Ole Miss. Do you think that those other schools were, you know, you're going to host him 7 and 6 times? They didn't want him?
Yeah, no, they didn't. They didn't want him. Why would they? Why would they want him? Like,
I mean, he'll be all of 205, 210 before he even sets on the field at Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I kind of remember a running back out of Escambia County, Florida, when I was growing up, who was about 5'9", 200, coming out of high school, and he became one of the NFL, if not the NFL's all-time leading rusher, and broke my heart on signing day when he went to Florida driving out of his driveway in a brand-new blue Maxima when Pat Dye told him, if you come here to Auburn, and he had silently committed from everything I'd heard, he would win him the Heisman, and I believe he would have. Mm. And that kid named Emmett Smith went 0-3 against the Tigers. Get you some of that, Gators. So, yeah, I mean, running backs aren't utilized like they used to be anyway. It's almost all running back by committee. Mm-hmm. You've got to have some change of pace guys unless you just had like Eddie Lacy, Derrick Henry, and Trent Richardson in the backfield all at once. You just rotated and pounded. You still in today's world have to run a dynamic offense that involves a lot of different players mm-hmm. at a lot of different sizes. But I'm gonna tell you right now, from what I've been told, Alvin Henderson's a power back at that size.
And he's a beast. Yeah. He is. He's a beast.
So, okay, that makes sense. That's the classic, we didn't want you anyway, but then if he committed to you tomorrow, you'd be like, oh, we love him.
But see, Auburn was very vocal about, we want him. And some of his quotes about, you know, I'm going to come to Auburn and be one of the guys and be one of the go-to guys for this offense, you bring up the Derrick Henry days or the Mark Ingram days. Think about how the game has changed even since those guys were dominating at Alabama. Like, that was ground and pound Bama winning championships on running the ball and stopping you on defense. Yes. And now it's not like that. It's not like that anymore. We see offenses that put up 40 points a game on average now in the SEC, and if you don't do that, you're behind the times.
Jacob, when I was growing up, if a running back ran up and down the field on you like Fred Talley did us in the 2002 Auburn-Arkansas game, you were over there basically finding a bathroom to go vomit in because you were so disgusted by how bad they pounded you.
Yeah.
Going into the 2019 Iron Bowl, I remember saying the key to Auburn winning was Najee Harris running the ball as many times as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And Alabama kept giving it to him, and we kept letting him run. And while he was running up and down the field in between the 20s, chewing up clock and chewing up time. Back in the olden days, I'd said we got killed. They weren't hitting us on 30, 50-yard bombs to Waddle and the rest of those bandits and getting out in front of you 28-0.
Yeah.
It was like more of, okay, we're going to play some zone defense here and let you just do what you do, but we're going to bend and not break. Yeah, just keep handing the ball off to somebody over and over again and see what happens. You're going to find yourself down 24-7.
Yeah. And kind of my angle on this is I think it's hard to recruit good running backs because you have to sell them on offenses that are not focused on them.
All of these backs now just about coming out, grew up playing the spread. You know what they can do?
Catch the ball. And run. Catch and go. You have to.
They're just another player who can get out in space like a dynamic player on the outside, and you get them the ball however you can, whether it's a handoff, whether it's a shuttle pass, whatever, it's a dump off, whether it's them running routes. You see running backs go out as split ends now in formations.
It's just about RPO. That's what it is. It's running RPO. And as long as you can get it to him and get him a blocker or two, a guy like Alvin Henderson's going to be a superstar.
His very first visit to Auburn was on April 1st. April Fool's Day, 2022. Golly, man.
Over 2 years ago.
I mean, what was he, like 15 then?
That's how you have to start. I mean, you have to start that young, and that some people are even behind if you don't start that early. Like, it's crazy to think about what recruiting has become, and it's also crazy to think that Auburn is jumping on top and landing big-time players like this. And the fact that they have stayed on him, they knew they had work to do, but they knew that they could land him, and they knew that they could sell him a future.
Real quick. At Alabama, do you know who his lead recruiter was for quite some time? Charles Kelly.
How about that?
Now he's over there on the Plains.
How about that?
That group of coaches they have at Auburn right now are probably some of the best recruiters as a staff that they've ever had.
And there's a lot more to that we can talk about when we come back. Some news that's maybe not so good for Auburn's favor. And plus, what else is going on around the state? We got more of that coming up as we're 30 minutes in to the Monday edition of On the Line. Stay tuned.
On the Line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
Halfway through hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. He's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goetz. As we continue talking recruiting and transfer portal news that we do have for Auburn and some things like that. Some things that I want to get into. Obviously, talk some Caleb Cunningham, Cunningham kid, the receiver from Mississippi. Also, you had brought this up during the break, and I don't believe I've had a chance to talk about this just yet. The fact that Auburn picked up another player. They picked up somebody from Colorado, and a guy that also used to play at Alabama.
Yeah, it's a late addition to the roster. Charles Kelly, who was at Colorado and at Alabama previously, I think had recruited Jaquez Robinson. He'll be he'll have 2 seasons of eligibility remaining as a graduate transfer. Originally a 4-star recruit out of Jacksonville, Florida, class of 2020. He signed with Alabama, spent a couple seasons there, and then went over to Colorado. I guess he went over there when Kelly took the defensive coordinator job there. But, it's a good addition. It's a good get. 6'2", 197, 200 pounds, right? Play some defensive back, kind of move him around. He's got some size, got some range. I don't know how much he'll play this year. He might be a special teams addition to begin with. But you got to have quality players behind your starters. A good way to do that is not have to rely on your freshmen that are coming in and go get some guys out of the portal who've played some football, have got some experience.
Yeah, and it's another body, right? It's a guy that you can train up and kind of beef up and kind of do what you can, almost mold him the way that you want him, right? He's a guy that's bounced around a little bit, and you can bring him in, and yeah, he can just kind of be there when you need him.
And he's been with Charles Kelly now for 2 or 3 years when he was at Alabama and Colorado, so he'll know what to expect. And not only that, he can if he's got some leadership skills, he can help these younger guys on what they need to know what to expect from Kelly and crew.
Sure, and so that was an addition that we wanted to at least bring up, but I know that you were wanting to talk about the Caleb Cunningham from Mississippi, and you alluded to it earlier in the show, but the number one receiver, right, the number one receiver, the number one player in the state of Mississippi, top 3 receiver in the country, top 20 player pretty much wherever you look. Caleb Cunningham, the 5-star, 6'1", 190 pounds, a guy that has told half the SEC that he's they're his number one,
yeah.
That he's excited. He had a great visit here, but he was in Tuscaloosa this weekend, and I do have to comment about Alabama. They have picked up some commits. They have. They picked up a few. They are getting back to where they expect to be in recruiting. They've picked up a couple here and there. The Micah DeBose kid was a big commit for them, the 4-star offensive tackle this weekend.
Okay.
So, look, Alabama has started to pick it up. They've started to recruit, and they've started to get some dudes in that room. They're a top 5 class, pretty much top 3 wherever you look. And I think it's fair. I think that should be expected, I guess, early. Given the guys that they were already going after, given the circumstances that there hasn't been any proof of concept or lack thereof on the field with a brand new coaching staff, yeah, it's kind of easy to say, yeah, we're coming in and we're just going to roll on through and do the same thing and we're going to continue to be Alabama that was. they are getting players, and it seems to be working for them right now in Tuscaloosa.
No question about it. I mean, the top five class across the board. I think people, we talked about this last week. We had this debate. You got to see, you know, what's it going to look like on the field during the fall? That's another X factor that people forget about NIL. You know, if Kalen DeBoer doesn't live up to this Kalen DeBoer standard and hype that the Alabama media has shoved down my throat and everybody else's across the world about his incredible winning percentage, and he's been a winner everywhere, and this is an X's and O's guy, and I mean, he got Washington to the national championship game last year where he got blown out. If he doesn't live up to that and struggles and messes around and gets beat up in Madtown against Wisconsin and lays an egg against Georgia at home, I mean, that opens up all the recruiting. But on the flip side of that, if Auburn comes out and struggles early, especially with a little bit weaker schedule in those first four games, and has some type of disaster against New Mexico like they did against New Mexico State last year, the same thing can hold true. You still got to prove it on the field eventually. I think that Auburn's very critical this season for Hugh Freeze to continue to sell the dream by showing to people that they're moving in the right direction on the field, okay? For Alabama to sell the dream, it's that we're not moving in the right direction. We're still contending for championships in the gold standard of college football. That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, it is.
You know, you sign up for that, you know it, and I think Kalen DeBoer can handle it, but still, you know, he's recruiting great, or Alabama's recruiting great.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, you know, Brian Hart, you know, there was all those jokes about the Husky horse, in which I warned people from day one was not the road to go down, because you don't ever underestimate the powers to be that push Alabama football. It's too important and always has been to them. But let's be real. Did Alabama recruit like this under Mike Shula? Dennis Franchione? Even in the last DuBose years, did Mike Price, the 3 months he was at Alabama, lock down and get up into the top five in recruiting? No. This is Nick Saban's recruiting infrastructure. He's still present on big recruiting weekends. There's pictures of him and number one defensive lineman Justice Terry that aren't just floating around social media. I saw it on the website The Sun. That's like a worldwide newspaper.
Yeah.
In their sports section. Off a Drudge Report today. I mean, that's big.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a lot easier to step in to a recruiting situation where not only has Nick Saban left you the keys to the castle and an infrastructure that he has proven to work forever, not just at Alabama, but at LSU also, and a little bit when he was starting to get going at Michigan State. And he's going to be present there to help recruit. I mean, you know, who's really in charge at that point? Is the Godfather really not active? I mean, you've seen the movie Casino, right?
Yeah.
I know you hadn't seen Office Space, but you've seen Casino. You know, who is in charge of the casino? The president or the guy with the big, fat no and small yes board on his desk?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot easier to recruit that way. And look, I think Kalen DeBoer is a good dude, and I think he's a great coach. You know, I didn't know he was just going to be the next coming of Nick Saban in recruiting. I mean, Fresno State, when he was a coach there, they didn't even rank in the top 100. In 2021, they were ranked 93rd. Washington in 2022, on Rivals, they were ranked 89th in recruiting. Now, he got them up in 2023 after a year and a half to 24th. He didn't leave them in good shape. They finished 56th last year. And now there's 2 and 3, and he's just showing the world how to recruit. Come on, man.
I think there's a lot to that.
Come on.
I think there's a lot to that.
I mean, you can give the guy credit without trying to oversell it. I just think there's a lot of people in the media right now really pushing this narrative that Kalen DeBoer is an elite recruiter. I can't say that yet. Not just because they're kicking butt. Alabama's an elite recruiter.
That's a really good way to put it. It's too early. It's too early in the process. I mean, this is the Monday practice round at Augusta. Like, you can't say that, oh, just because he hit a hole in one on the par three on a Wednesday that he's going to win the thing. Like, you have no idea. It's way too early to determine whether Kalen DeBoer is going to be able to get it done at Alabama. But what you said is true. Alabama is continuing to recruit at the highest level because that's what Alabama does. That's what Nick Saban built. That's what the money has created there. That's what everybody around that program has been doing for the last 15 years is building what it is that you see right now. And you start comparing what DeBoer did at Washington to what he could do at Alabama. Well, let's just be honest with ourselves. It's a heck of a lot easier to recruit kids to play at Alabama than it is in Seattle, Washington. Are you serious? You're recruiting kids from Washington and Oregon or in a top five talent state of Alabama. You don't have to convince anybody to go play there. Right? Alabama halfway recruits itself. It did not used to.
It's more than halfway.
Yeah?
It's way more than halfway with the run that Nick Saban just had.
Which is fair. So,
if Alabama
had
always recruited itself, Mike Shula would have had more success at Alabama.
Which is what I'm saying. It didn't always used to be that way.
But I think that it was for a long time, and then they had a massive drop-off, and finally enough people up there had enough sense to say, Nick Saban's the man, just give him the keys to the kingdom, get out of the way. And he's built probably the greatest recruiting infrastructure ever in college football.
And so...
So the remnants of that can last for a very long time if you don't mess it up.
Which is getting to my point of, if you are Alabama, even though Nick Saban, and I'm putting up air quotes in the studio, retired, okay, why would you not ask him to hang around? Why would you not want him to be around and be like, look, man, if you're going to quit and not coach, we get it. Like, you're getting older. Like, you've been doing it a long time. We get it. But we can't afford you to walk away.
So, I mean, is he basically like the VP of operations now or the CEO, kind of the godfather in charge but not really in charge?
It's almost like a general manager.
So he's the general manager now at Alabama.
Sure.
And we're just going to have you around to help out every once in a while and keep us on track and then obviously go out on ESPN and push our brand as hard as possible. But what happens, though, Jacob, if DeBoer, coaching-wise, doesn't live up to this expectation of his fantastic record that everybody tells me is one of the most winningest head coaches percentage-wise in college football currently? What happens if he has a couple of bad games? Nick going to go down to practice and straighten him out?
I mean, he's going to be a mentor, I would think. And again, I think Alabama probably asked him to do that. And on the flip side,
I don't think
of that,
there's any probably to it. When Nick Saban left Alabama, it was announced right after our show. We just missed that breaking news, and yeah, we were both ticked off about it because that would have been awesome. We'd heard some rumblings and sure, made some mention of it, but we didn't get to break that news, and I didn't have the courage to come out and say what I thought was happening. Okay? Because yeah, I didn't want to, you know, you got to be right, and I wasn't right. That's what kind of show we have. We're going to say something that we think's a theory, we're going to tell you a theory. If we're going to say something we believe's happening, news is news. Mm-hmm. That being said, when he left, how many players left? How many? I mean, Julian Sam was the number one quarterback in the country, committed to him on campus, yeah, packs his bags, he's gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was an abnormal amount of people. They always lose a lot of people in the portal because they have really good players who backups want to go somewhere else. But an abnormal amount of players and recruits and people committed in this year's class started scattering like a covey of quail. And I think they asked him to step in not long after that and say, hey, bud, you just can't leave right now and go down to Jupiter, Florida.
Which I think he probably felt the same way. I think it was more of a mutual thing. I think Alabama was probably like, please don't leave us, sir. We really need you to hang around. But at the same time, if you're Nick Saban, step into his shoes for a second. You just spent 15 years building this dynasty. Do you really just want to walk away and not have any say for a guy that's had all the say for 15 years, for a guy that's had all the power and all the say and all the pull and all the glory that's come with what he built? Would you be able to walk away? I wouldn't. I wouldn't be able to fully walk away and just go into retirement and go sit on my boat or my yacht or sit on the lake and just hope that Alabama's okay, then just hope that it's going to work out. Or I wouldn't be able to just walk away and not care.
I
wouldn't
care
be able to do that.
How good of a football coach you are or think you are, and Alabama knows this better than anybody, if you don't have the players, you don't have a shot. Mm-hmm. You're never going to be better than mediocre. And I think they realize
in today's world more than ever.
In today's world where parity is across the board now. There used to be, in my opinion, at the start of a season, realistically 10 to 12 teams that can win a national title or at least make the playoffs. A four. I think there's 25 teams that can make the playoffs now.
I think being in the top 25 means a heck of a lot more now than it did.
It sure does, with there being 12 and soon to probably be even more to 16 teams. So, look, you know, I think that it caught – that even though there were people at Alabama who probably knew what was happening and they had DeBoer lined up, I think it caught a lot of the recruits off guard and a lot of the players off guard, and they started leaving, and Alabama's like, we're having a talent suck. And we're about to have a big void here with a new guy in here. We better do something about it now. And the best thing to do is turn back to him and say, what's it going to take for you to stay here and not just be coach emeritus, but actually unofficially be active in the program?
Yeah, and be a
– that's what I believe what's going on.
Be a mentor, be an advisor, basically, of Kalen DeBoer of Alabama.
Does the Godfather ever really retire?
No.
I don't think so either.
334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to us on the phone lines. You can also text us 334-784-1067. We'll wrap up hour number one after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Been talking a lot of recruiting things with Auburn, with Alabama, just kind of getting a lot of our thoughts out on the airwaves. We'll continue with some of that coming up in hour number two, plus Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network will be with us as well. We'll be talking about Auburn softball, the new co-head coaches, get his thoughts on that, on some recruiting things, all sorts of things with Auburn. So, looking forward to that coming up in hour number two. But got a few minutes here. Let's get through some non-Auburn sporting things that are going on. You do have the Men's College World Series final game is tonight. The winner of tonight's game between Texas A&M and Tennessee will become a first-time national champion. And it was A&M who got the win in game one. They were leading in game two, and then Tennessee came back and blew it open a little bit. So it is winner-take-all game three in the Men's College World Series tonight. Don't know if you saw this, Uncle T-Bone. The feels-like temperature tonight. The expected temperature in Omaha, Nebraska at first pitch, 104 degrees.
Goodness gracious. That's just, I mean, that's sickening.
Miserable. That's the word. Miserable.
I mean, I just, that kind of heat is not only just awful, it's dangerous.
Yeah, it is. So that'll be tonight, game three. Winner from the SEC, of course. The SEC will claim yet another national championship in college baseball. How about our boy Scotty Scheffler? Winning another golf tournament, 6 wins before the month of July. He is on fire in the Travelers Championship. For those of you that are golf fans, I'm sure you watched it yesterday and watched it this weekend with all the weather and everything. It got moved up a little bit. It was really cool to watch Scotty and his boy Tom Kim go at it there down the stretch. They had a one-hole playoff. They're like really good friends off the course. It was really cool to watch. But Scotty doing something that has not been done since Arnold Palmer did it. 6 wins in the first 6 months of the year.
Yeah, and in case you missed it, right there at the end of the tournament, these climate protesters rush the green.
As they're finishing up on the 18th.
Yeah, there were 6 of them arrested. Quite frankly, you know, I just – they're going to have to start making examples out of these people. You just can't kind of tackle them down and arrest them. I want to see somebody get tased in the face next time this happens and just get the billy clubs out and beat them down for a second and say, you know, these idiots are ruining – it's not even just like golf. Like they hit Stonehenge last month, you know. One of the worldwide wonders – of the ancient world and like spray painted the stones and stuff. I mean, they make me sick to my stomach, and they're just disgusting and awful people.
Well, here's my thing, and we don't get political on this show very often and try to avoid it as much as we can. It's just, I understand that we live in America and you have the right to protest. You do. It is written down in law. You have the right to protest. But in a situation like this, where you are at a golf tournament and you rush out with some smoke and powder and you get tackled and get arrested and taken to jail, like, Uncle T-Bone, I didn't even know what they were protesting. Nobody, half the people didn't even know what they were doing. And it's like, there's a time and a place for all these things. You want your voice to be heard. You want your spread your message. Go do that. That's fine. But that's not the time and place, and you're not going to get the reaction you're looking for. You're going to get the reaction that you're getting right now. You're going to get, if anything, it makes me want to not support whatever it is that you're protesting.
No question about it. Some group called Extinction Rebellion, a climate activist group, said it was behind the incident. One of these so-called protesters, demonstrator is what some of these people are calling. I'd have demonstrated them a quick trip to the Pokey with a couple of black eyes.
Yeah.
Their t-shirt read, "No golf on a dead planet."
Wow.
Get a life.
Wow.
Get a haircut while you're at it.
Well, hey, Scotty and Tom Kim did fine. They were able to adjust. So was the PGA. They did a great job adjusting as well. They replayed the 18th hole. I've never seen this. They recut the hole because of the powder and stuff that was on the green to avoid it.
You know, recut it. Someone who's worked maintenance on many golf courses, these people who go out and damage golf courses, I have no sympathy for them. I wish I was that judge because I'd throw them up underneath the jail.
Hour number one is in the book. Stay tuned. We got a lot more coming up in hour number two.
Is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two on the Monday edition of On the Line. I'm Jacob Goins. Alongside me in the studio is Uncle T-Bone. If you missed any of hour number one, you can go and catch up with the podcast. Find it on our station website at ESPNAU.com, where, of course, you can stream the show each and every day, or you can just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. Talk some Auburn football recruiting in hour number one about Alvin Henderson flipping from Penn State to Auburn. Also talked about a couple of other guys, in particular Caleb Cunningham, the receiver out of Mississippi. I think we have more to say there, plus some more of that conversation in hour number two. And believe it or not, we actually got into some Alabama recruiting things and just kind of talking about how it was a big weekend for the Crimson Tide and new head coach Kalen DeBoer and whoever else pitches in on that. So all of that was in – you like that? All of that was in hour number one. Again, you can go and listen to the podcast at ESPNAU.com. More recruiting things here in hour number two. Plus, Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network will be with us. He'll join us in about 30 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on a lot of things to catch up. It's been a while since we've talked to Hillman. We've had a lot going on, so he'll join us coming up in about 30 minutes. You can be a part of the show today. You can call in 334-321-1390. We want you to. We want to hear from you. What's on your mind on this Monday afternoon? 334-321-1390. You can also shoot us a text in the On the Line text box, 334-784-1067. That's 334-784-1067. Shoot us a text if you don't want to be talking on the air. You can get your thoughts out that way as well. Uncle T-Bone, the thought always is, right after a big school, big program lands a big-time commit, you're excited, you're talking about the future with him and what he's going to be. What's the very first question that's always asked after a big recruit commits? Oh, who's next? Right? That's the first question out of everybody's mouth is, all right, that's cool, Alvin Henderson. Glad you're here, man. It may or may not have been a secret, but hey, we're glad you're here. Okay, who's next? I mean, in today's world, right, of social media and very small, short attention spans, people can't focus on one thing for too long. And so many fans get into this habit of, all right, well, who's next? And I think Auburn has a pretty good list of guys that they're going after. Some that people feel good about, some that people may not feel so good about, and there may be some things happening on the back end, but still a pretty good list of guys that Auburn's going after in terms of the question and trying to answer it on who could be next.
Yeah, I think the key for Auburn and for all of us to pay attention, look, they're all ABC, right? Always be closing. You know, you make,
I like that.
You know, you make a sale in business, and you're happy and you're fired up. You don't want to sleep on a win, though. You want to keep that momentum rolling. Sales beget sales. Winning begets winning. You know, striking out begets striking out. Just ask Dale Murphy. He used to drive me crazy. He'd hit a home run and strike out 15 times in a row afterwards growing up. But I think the key for everybody now is, when is Big Cat weekend?
It is end of July.
Is it? It's that far away. Because that's when I think Auburn is going to really pivot, and they already have. I mean, listen, they're, you know, right around top five, or if not top five, doing a great job recruiting. But that's when it all started to come together last year, when Perry Thompson flipped from Alabama to Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
And that class really took off like a rocket ship. They closed strong. They almost closed very strong, just missing out on a few guys late. The safety, Bolden, who went to Georgia, a lot of people, and Ryan Williams, a lot of people thought, well, Auburn was in the hunt for both of those, fact, and knee-deep in it. So, Big Cat week, you know, that's when I would start trying to kind of, I mean, you always want to pay attention. And, you know, we'll probably have something break just beforehand, because there's going to be someone who – They'll want to kick it off.
Well, that's
but
a good
Big Cat
point.
Weekend is what I'd really be focusing on next.
Yeah, I've heard Christian Clemente, buddy of ours at Auburn 247, recruiting guru over there. He says that, you know, Big Cat weekend is not just a weekend, right? Because you have the dead period going on right now for recruiting. You have June 24 to July 24. So you have a month where you can't do anything. You can't go see kids. They can't come see you. You can't do any of that stuff. But he has talked about how Big Cat weekend is basically the week leading up to Big Cat, mm-hmm. the weekend of, and then the week after. Because you hit it spot on. Kids want to kick off Big Cat weekend. They know they're going to be on the plains. They know they're going to be here. They're just going to go ahead and commit, and then they get to feel that love while they're here over the weekend, right? And then you have guys that show up and they commit at Big Cat weekend, aka Perry Thompson, right? The video you had from a year ago that just went viral and everybody loved it. You also have them, guys that are using Big Cat weekend, and they want to recruit or they want to commit during it. They get the hype, they get the love, they get the excitement while they're here on campus, right? Then you have the guys who are legitimately using Big Cat weekend as their final hoorah and their final mm-hmm. decision-making event of, okay, is this where I want to be? Is this the place for me? And then you have guys who decide, wow, that was really great. That was fun. They took care of my family. They've done everything right. They've continued to do it right, and they did it for one more time. I'm going to commit to Auburn. So it is the week before, the weekend of, and the week after. You're 100% right about that.
Yeah, so I think the original question, though, that you're saying is, who's next? Who do you need to keep an eye on? Who is Auburn looking to lock down next? You know, Zion Grady was definitely a target. That can was kicked around a good bit. I don't think this was ultimately, and I don't want to sound like we never wanted him, guy. But I think
here we go.
But I think that there's a couple of targets at edge Auburn's higher on,
mm-hmm.
including the Scroggins, the third kid, mm-hmm. and the Smith kid out of Birmingham, and maybe even Isaiah Gibson, who now Georgia's all over, the former USC commit out of Warner Robins.
Mm-hmm.
There's only so many dollars. There's only so many spots. Auburn's going to bring three edges back next year if everyone comes back. You don't ever know. Someone could go in the portal. You can always just reload in the portal too.
You could.
So I think this was one of those situations where there might be some guys that Auburn's already after more, and they feel pretty good about. I'm not a big fan of being picky. I don't think Auburn's quite at the level of a program right now that can be picky. And if you're one of the top players in the state, allegedly, like Grady, and he did want to go here, you got to really seriously consider if you think you got somebody who's better.
And you have to also, not only if you consider them better, you better be confident that they're going to come here.
That's right. But I'm going to trust this staff, especially on the defensive side of the ball, looking at a defensive player and whether they want to go after somebody else who they feel like they can get who's better and more worth the dollar they're going to pay for it in NIL. I'm going to trust DJ Durkin and Charles Kelly about as much as I've ever trusted a defensive staff at Auburn to judge the talent they want to get.
This is a conversation that doesn't get brought up enough in terms of recruiting, because recruiting is not finding the best player and then just convincing him to go to your school, or going and finding a guy that you like and convincing him to be a part of your program. This is the side of recruiting that makes it really difficult, right? Where you have five players at the same position, and I'm not talking about one in particular. It can be edge, it can be running back, it can be whatever. You have a list of guys that you are confident in that you would be happy to bring into your program, knowing fine and well that you're not going to get them all and that other programs want those players too. And you have to go in and say, okay, you've got them ranked 1 through 5 of how you want them. All right, 1 being the best, 5 being the, quote, worst of the group, right? And you say, okay, well, 3 on our list, he's in. He loves us. We feel really good about getting him. But we think we could get 2 or possibly, well, 1, he's off the board. He committed to Clemson. All right, well.
But you're not going to stop recruiting 1.
No, you're not. You're not going to do that. And Auburn has proven that right now. They've proven that in today's world, that they have not stopped recruiting kids no matter where they've decided to go or where they've committed. But then you have to decide, okay, do we just go in all in on 3 and try to pick up 4 behind him, or do we try to test our luck and we go for 2, knowing that you could strike out altogether, because 3 is probably not going to come if 2 comes too, because these guys want to play and there's competition there. Those are the conversations and the decisions that have to be made that make recruiting that much different.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't fantasy football, right? You just don't take the best player available. this is the real world, and there are so many factors, if not more factors than ever, for these guys to commit to your school. And one little thing goes wrong, and it might be a domino effect negatively. Said it right that time.
Attaboy.
And it might be just this negative effect that takes down 3 or 4 players away from you. Now, there's a fine line that these coaches and these recruiters are walking in today's world, and everybody is talking to one another. And well, so-and-so promised me this. Well, they told me about this. And, you know, these kids talk more than ever on social media. They talk to coaches more than ever. They talk to fans more than ever. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, there's no storytelling now. I mean, you can't get away with any of that
now. I would not be surprised back in the day, not very long ago, that there were top-notch players that were recruited to schools that had no idea who else the coaches were recruiting.
Sure.
And so,
I guarantee
like you're
it.
Auburn and you show up in 1987 or 86 and there's like 5 defensive ends that Pat Hine, Wayne Hall have recruited.
You look around you're
and
like,
they're like, wait a minute, I thought they told me I was 1.
Who the heck are these guys?
That would be a good question for one of our best callers, Dak, to tell us about how it used to be.
Coach Dunn, I mean, even.
Coach Dunn would be awesome too. I mean, he came to Auburn really when the internet started. And when the internet started, you know, everybody started talking to one another. And now it's, I mean, just ridiculous.
Well, and that's the thing too, is not that coaches ever lie to recruits.
No, that never happened.
I couldn't imagine them doing that. That would just be outlandish.
Ask Darius Filon a few years back out of Mobile if he was lied to or not.
But even if you tried to do it, you can't. And I'm not.
No. You can't.
I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying if you're stupid enough to try, if you're dumb enough to tell a kid something that is not 100% true, it will come out. It will be found out, and then
you might get sued.
Well, there's that. And then there's also the fact of, oh, yeah, I took a visit to, I don't know, Colorado or whatever. It's like, oh, yeah, they gave me bad info. They gave me bad info. I'm telling everybody I know. I'm telling every recruit, every kid, every person that I know that this school X, whoever it is, they gave me some bad info. They were recruiting somebody on the side. They were doing this. Their money wasn't right. Take Florida, a school that's being sued right now for not promise or not being able to give the money they promised.
Allegedly.
And now you're telling me Florida doesn't have a little bit of a bad rep now because of that?
Billy Napier and that staff definitely do. Let me tell you what, Jake. I'm going to add this to my list of recruiting conspiracy theories that will one day be proven just to be true theories and probably scientific recruiting law.
In fact.
And a factoid from Uncle T-Bone, like
add it to
like
the
to
list.
Say.
What you
just
got?
Add it to the list. What's to stop a nefarious school from paying a couple of key recruits to go around and badmouth a rival? I mean, what's to stop that?
You're saying it's not already happening? You're saying it hasn't been happening? You're telling me that there hasn't been schemes with coaches and players and recruits to say, look, now that you're a part of us, and again, I'm not talking about any school in particular. I promise you I'm not.
You don't have to necessarily even go as far. We love it for you to tell everybody, Reuben Foster, how great Alabama is after you embarrass everybody in Auburn who took care of you. We'd love that. Now, he didn't do this. I don't remember it, and I'm not saying this happened, but what's to stop a player like that, paying a player like that who's a hometown guy, to just, you know, tell some of these other players that some bad things are happening at Auburn too?
Mm-hmm.
Here's $5,000. Don't tell anybody.
See, I even think in the past, though, when money wasn't even being – if money was not being used in that way.
Okay.
I said if. I think a lot of these programs and some of these coaches that are so – and have been – and I'm not even saying active coaches anymore, but have been so determined to win and been so determined to be better than everybody else – it's almost a brainwashing scenario where you have been so hard on other programs and how they don't want to go there, and these kids almost start to really believe that other schools are just bad. Other programs are bad. You don't want to be there. Like, not even directly getting in a room and writing on the chalkboard, all right, this is what we're telling folks. It's almost an indirect thing of, oh, yeah, I was never going to go to LSU. I was never going to go to Oregon or whatever. You see what I'm saying
here?
You don't
think that coaches were negatively recruiting against Gus Malzahn and his system, claiming for both quarterbacks and offensive line especially that they're not going to get you to the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
And then they start – just osmosis takes over with that message, and they start believing it. And what are they going to start telling other people?
Oh, that's not going
to
work.
They're not going to get me to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you ever hear a recruit say something about a program like they don't have the facilities or the coaching or the style of play or the wherewithal to get me to the NFL, other recruits are going to notice that.
Yeah, they will. And, again,
I mean, it's almost like a peer pressure factor.
Yeah, it really is. And it's almost to the point where – I feel like even if you're the coaches, you don't even have to drop names. You can just drop factoids and drop, you know, descriptions of places they've already been. And but this is nothing new. We're not breaking news here. We're not blowing up the world with this. This is stuff that's happened for 50 years in college recruiting, not just football. Dude, basketball? Are you kidding me? College basketball recruiting was the dirtiest thing to exist, okay, until the FBI started getting involved. Do you remember all this? College basketball was the dirtiest thing ever in terms of recruiting.
I think it's just as dirty now, but in a different way. I mean, you're telling me that somebody didn't reach out to Aiden Holloway and say, we can get you here and get you to our guards. Our system is better for you guard-wise than the system you're in.
Sure.
Or he reached out, you mm-hmm. know, or his mom reached out or whatever. I don't know. How did that go down? I mean, that, you know, there's every school tampers. Every school tampers. Don't get mad, Alabama fans, when I talk about Aiden Holloway and if there's tampering or not. There is some form or fashion of tampering going on in football and basketball at every school. So, I mean, look, I mean, what is the transfer portal? Someone just goes in and next day commits somewhere and they haven't talked to the place that they're transferring to already?
Yeah.
Well, give me a break.
It goes back, and I know we're up against a break, but it goes to what I was saying a while ago, too, when some of these players, they'll enter the transfer portal with a do not contact disclosure on or don't contact me. It's like.
And then how is it that somebody in the media just automatically has the story, too, like ready to just pop? They go in the portal and boom, that player's been looking at, from Colorado State's been looking at Texas for a month now.
Yeah. I mean, look, again, we're not saying anything that's new. We're just getting our thoughts out there and having a little fun on a Monday. But I'll end it with this. You can't sit here and believe that it's clean. You cannot believe that it's just being done by the books everywhere because it's not. And guess what? The problem is, we've just accepted it. We've accepted it. We've allowed it. And no matter how much the NCAA wants to walk themselves back now, it's never going to change. Unless somebody else steps in. Unless there's another entity that takes over. And you guys know my thoughts on that. 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to us. Got a couple of texts to get to when we come back as well. That number is 334-784-1067. Lots more to get to here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Reminder, hour number two on this show from 3 to 4 each and every day is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. They bring you the second hour of the show each and every day. Back after this here on ESPN 1067.
You are on the line on ESPN 1067, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 1067 app.
Rolling on here in hour number two here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Uncle T-Bone, can you believe, and I feel like I say this just about every week, but it is the last week of June. A week from today will be the 1st of July. I don't know where time went. I don't know where the back end of basketball season went, baseball season. Heck, half the summer. You said it earlier today off the air we were talking, and it's like, man, school goes back in like 6 weeks.
I mean, that's hard to believe. How many days is it to football? 68 now?
It is 68. Yeah, forgot to tell people that. We do have the countdown going. 68 days away from Auburn football kicking off the season.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, that's unbelievable. I mean,
it really is.
It'll be here before we know. Look, once you get past the 4th of July, to me, that's really when football season starts anyway. Summer practice for both college and high school is right around the corner. The fans start getting really amped up, and even Vandy fans think they're going to have a good season up until about Labor Day, and then it gets real, right?
Opening weekend.
And the dog days of summer aren't quite the dog days they used to be, not because of the heat being any better. It's just as relentless as ever. It's that practice just starts so much earlier and school starts so much earlier.
I know. It really is
so
crazy.
There's going to be a ton to talk about then.
Yeah.
I mean, it's real news. It's not what-if season at that point.
Yeah.
You still get a little what-if-ism in there.
Oh, right? Always.
I mean, always. We're going to always have a little what-if-ism in here.
That's
but,
what's fun.
Yeah. I mean, well, but at that point, we'll start making some serious predictions then.
Yeah, I mean, that way, you know, media will start getting views of practice and starting to get some two deeps and starting to get all that stuff going on. And so looking forward to the high school season, too. Definitely going to continue our high school coverage here on the show. Got a text from our former conversation, or I guess previous conversation before we went to break there, Uncle T-Bone. This is a text and from our loyal listeners. He says, until my dying day, I'll believe that Georgia paid George Pickens to commit to Auburn for so long, but not to sign with the Tigers.
Well, didn't he sign like, didn't he even wait till after signing day? I can't quite remember. I know if B-Matt's in on the next show, he'll be able to answer that question. But yeah, I mean, it was like he either was committed to Auburn or told everybody he was committed to Auburn until signing day and then pulled the rug out from under us or waited or on signing day said, I need another week or something. I can't quite remember.
There's been a few of those.
That effect. No doubt about it. I mean, the most famous one I can remember for an embarrassment factor on Auburn was Rashawn Evans, local guy here at Auburn, who had called allegedly. They were there, a bunch of Opelika kids who were committed to Auburn. I think Steven Roberts was one of them, to come over and celebrate his signing day over at Auburn because they had already signed, and they went over to the ceremony that afternoon, and he just told everybody, you know what, I'm going to Alabama. And there are Auburn folks and local Auburn folks who will never forget nor forgive that. That's all was orchestrated by Kirby Smart, I believe. And who was the coach at Georgia when George Pickens? Kirby Smart.
There you go.
You know, and what better, right, can you do in recruiting to not only get a big-time recruit, but embarrass and needle and shove it down your rivals' throats while you do it?
And for
it's a dirty business, man.
It is. And look, it happens again. I want to state this. It happens everywhere. You cannot sit. It would be dumb for us to sit here right now and say that Auburn's never done anything like that. Come on now. I mean, come on. Let's be real. Everybody wants to do those two things. Like you just said, every team wants to beat. Every team wants to win, whether it be on the field, in recruiting, whatever. And you want to beat your rival. You want to stick it to them. Auburn wants to stick it to Alabama. Alabama wants to stick it to Auburn. Like,
I don't think that a couple of previous staffs really fought that game. Like, Harsin, I don't even know what he was doing recruiting. I don't think he knew what he was doing. I think Gus Malzahn didn't really want to play that game. And kudos to him, but
you see how it worked out.
Yeah, exactly. And this staff will fight fire with fire. I mean, make it a big production. Like you said, recruits talk to recruits. Woo, oh my God, you see what they just did? They just flipped so-and-so. Maybe I ought to think about looking at it. Right? And then that phone rings. Did you just see what we did?
Boom.
Come join the party. Speaking of recruiting, I'm over at On3 real quick, pulling up the top 25 players in the state of Alabama. And I've got some interesting thoughts when we get back from break on this.
Well, we have Jacob Hillman coming up next. Maybe so we can close the show
sounds
with
great.
That.
Stay with us because Uncle T's got some insight here. I know you're going to want to hear.
Ooh, okay. All right, little tease on the radio. He's becoming experienced, folks. What are we going to do with him? Jacob Hillman joins us from the Auburn Sports Network coming up after this.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
All right, well, unfortunately, I'm having some technical difficulties with our phones, but that's okay. It happens sometimes. We'll see if we can get those fixed and try to get Jacob Hillman on here. If not, then I will have to pick back up with him next week. But it allows you, Uncle T-Bone, to go right into your perfect radio tease and tell the people, all right, just go ahead, get your tinfoil hats out, get your, get your whatever.
All you Alabama fans over in Tallahassee and Eclectic, grip the steering wheel, take a deep breath. I mean, this is sports talk radio. You can calm down on the text line a little bit.
So what's
it's
on
not
your mind?
Really a conspiracy theory. I mean, are there really conspiracy theories or just theories? That's a question, too. But all right, so I pulled up the top players in the state of Alabama on the Google. And the first website to pop off was 247. That's on three. And if you look at the top 10 players, and we can go through them real quick. Two of those are committed to Ohio State. Would you have thought that, Jacob, going into this recruiting cycle? Naheem Alford, number one in the state, according to 247, has committed to Ohio State. The next player is Jared Smith out of Alabaster. That's Thompson High School. I believe he's one of the edge people that Auburn might be after over Zion Grady, who's ranked sixth. And also headed to Ohio State. I have a hard time believing we wouldn't take the sixth best player in the state of Alabama because we thought we had somebody better. But, who knows? How about number three, Malik Autry out of Opelika? That's an Auburn commit. Four, Jacalib Falk, Auburn commit. Number five, Eric Winters, Auburn commit. Where you at, Bama? I mean, are you kidding me? Out of the top 10 in the state right now, according to 247, only two players are committed to Alabama. Derek Smith in that top 10 at 7, the athlete out of Southside Selma, and Antonio Coleman Jr. at 10. They only have 7 and 10, according to 24/7 Sports. They're going to have to do a re-rank there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And those two players are still being heavily pursued by Auburn, one of which I think might be a flip candidate right now. That's incredible to believe. My, how the tables have turned. If you look at this, 1, 2, 3, 4 people out of the top 10 committed to Auburn. At 9, Anquan Fagans, another Thompson player, a big-time safety. They have crystal balling towards Auburn. And Jared Smith crystal balling towards Auburn. That's 6 out of the top 10. What if they somehow flip Naheem Offord, too? And Auburn's at 7 out of the top 10. I mean, that's the goal, right? Keep an eye out for Big Cat Weekend. It goes on to some of these other players. That's incredible to me, Jake. A year ago, I'd have said there's no way that that's happening.
And it goes back to the dedication that this staff has shown and the fact that the focus that they put on winning the state, right? Winning the state. And not, you know, they still understand that there are kids in Georgia, in Tennessee, in Florida, Texas, wherever, that, yeah, they want to go and get some kids. They want to go get some talent elsewhere. But, man, it doesn't get much better than the state of Alabama right here in your own backyard. And they understand that that's what it takes. They understood that, and they've done that. Now, Alabama has done a fantastic job recruiting outside the state of Alabama right now, and they're still working very hard to...
And they're circling back.
They are, and that's exactly what I was going to say. They are working hard to get back in it in the state, and I think they're going to. I think they're going to get some big-time players, but Auburn just has to keep grinding away. Keep doing what you're doing and showing recruits why it is okay to go to Auburn, why you should want to go to Auburn. And it always goes back to what I talk about. It comes with proof of concept. You got to win some games on the field this fall.
Yeah, you got to prove it, man. Alvin Henderson on three ranked 17th in the state of Alabama. Don't you think he's a little bit better than that? But to be fair to him, though, and to other players over on Rivals in their top 10, he's ranked 3rd. I mean, you know, it's a moving target at best. But over on Rivals, Auburn's doing very well in the top 10 as well. They got Alvin Henderson trending towards Anquan Fagans. They got Eric Winters. Alabama's doing a little bit better in Rivals where they have Derek Smith at 10, Anthony Rogers. He's a running back, 5'9", 180 out of Montgomery, Alabama. Someone's complaining about size? That's a dumb complaint in today's world. Micah DeBose, offensive tackle at 6.
That's the one from this weekend. That's a big one. That's
so
a big one.
They're
for
doing
them.
Better in that top 10. It's really weird also to see these discrepancies in the rankings between the two sites. I mean, in the end, overall, they really normally line up. You got Jordan Crawford, a defensive tackle who's committed to Auburn. Rivals has him ranked the 29th best player in the state. I mean, is he really the 29th best player in the state? I don't know. If you're a defensive tackle and you're being recruited by Alabama, Auburn, and Georgia, I would think I'd have him more where On3 has him at 8.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess it just goes back to
tomato.
Sure. I mean, whichever site has your loyalty or what. I mean, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? But I ask this question too. I mean, look across the state look across the country in the last, I don't know, 5 years, and then looking ahead for 25, 26, 27, and even what we just went through too. I mean, where would you put Alabama as a state in terms of high school recruits, talent-wise? Where would you put him? I mean, I think it's top 5.
Yeah.
I mean, guaranteed top 5. I mean, you're competing with the likes of Texas. You're competing with the Californias of the world and Georgia's and LSU, Louisiana's. I said LSU because they've got that state on lockdown. There's no program in the country that does it better than LSU does in terms of not letting in-state talent
now
go anywhere
Nick
else.
Nick Saban's retired. I mean, he used to go down there and pluck plenty of players away from them.
Yeah, but still, I mean, they would get the most of the talent from Louisiana, which they are a sneaky good talent.
Yeah,
state.
They're right now hovering around, I want to say 12th, maybe a little higher in rivals, but they have very few commits compared to everybody else, but their average star ranking is off the charts. And if they're going to be a team to watch as more people come on and commit, them fire up into that top five when you get closer to the early signing period. Where would I put Alabama as a state in recruiting? I don't know. You know, Florida, Georgia, probably ahead of them. Texas ahead of them. Possibly California. I don't know if that's quite as important as it used to be. Louisiana, obviously, is very important. But, I mean, you got to put, in terms of Alabama and Auburn, the Mobile County, Baldwin County area is one of the top 10 recruiting areas in the nation for high school football talent, historically. That is that important, especially to Alabama. They have made ridiculous amount of hay down in Mobile and Baldwin County over the years.
Yeah, they have. And look at what Auburn – I mean, you went down and got Eric Winters from Enterprise. You go down and get – you get Alvin Henderson, right? You're getting Enterprise and Elba in schools in that area where – Auburn just had pretty much checked out. They were like, all right, I mean, if they're down there, we're wasting our time. We're wasting our gas. We're wasting our energy down there.
You know, that's a little bit easier place in the Wiregrass for Auburn to recruit, but lower Alabama has been a tougher place. And into the panhandle, while Nick Saban's been at Alabama for Auburn to recruit, than just about anywhere else. I mean, he's gone down there and suffocated Auburn, especially with linebackers. I mean, in offensive linemen, it's just been a no-go zone, it seems like, for the Tigers.
Yeah, and again, I think that at this point they've under I continue to go back to the fact that Hugh Freeze and this staff walked in. And they walked into what was a disaster, okay?
You cannot overstate that.
And for somebody like Hugh Freeze, who's been around the block, he's been at big-time programs, he's been a great recruiter everywhere he's been, you cannot overlook the fact that he just knows what to do, and he understands what it takes. And that is, I believe, at times easy to take for granted. Now, is Hugh Freeze going to be the next great coach at Auburn for the next 15 years? I don't know. I mean,
no clue.
Time will tell, right?
I think he'll rebuild Auburn's recruiting infrastructure win-loss-wise. Only time and proof of concept will tell, like you like to say. But I think that he's not only rebuilding it, he's actively rebuilding and will continue to do so the recruiting infrastructure of Auburn.
Which is where I'm heading is all this recruiting is great. And you can get high top-tier talent and be one of the best recruiting classes in the country. But if you don't win, and you don't win right now, bad things are going to happen, right? You are not going to be here very long. You will not be the head coach at Auburn for very long. That has been proven very, very recently. And I also think it's been, and I know that it's been proven at other programs. Look at Jimbo Fisher. That's the prime example for a guy that was pulling number one recruiting classes, top-ranked classes in the country, Uncle T. And yet, couldn't do better than 8-4, maybe 9-3.
I mean, his biggest issue was that he was just stuck in the past offensively. I mean, he just would never make that full commitment to what everybody runs right now, that RPO, and he's still continuing to run that kind of Gulf Coast offense, modified West Coast offense with play action, and that stuff was great in 2004. You get lit up running that, and then you bring in Bobby Petrino, who, you know, is – a solid offensive mind, but still continuing to run a lot of that with a fullback and a tight end. I mean, your tight end has to be explosive now.
Yeah.
You're not bringing in run blocking tight ends only unless it's short yardage situations. And, you know, if you don't adapt to the times, you retire or you get run.
Or just get paid.
Yeah, or just milk it, but eventually you're going to be on the outside looking in if you're not constantly adapting your program to all the trends offensively and defensively in college football, but specifically in recruiting.
And where I'm heading with all of this is you can sit and we can sit and talk about Auburn football recruiting until the end of time. We could sit and have these conversations and how great it has become and how great it's becoming and where it's come from, right? Where I've been and where I'm going. You can have that conversation all day long. But the other side of the coin is the flip side of the pillow here is you've got to win games and you have to show that what you are doing and what your game plan is not only going to work in this season, it has to work in the future. And that's what a year two head coach has to do, which is what I've talked about with Hugh Freeze. And the fact is, you have to go out and start 4-0. You have to compete. And I've said beat Oklahoma. You have to compete with Georgia on the road. You got to go and have a really good month of October on the road in the SEC and then come back and take care of business before you make a trip in the Iron Bowl. You have to have a good year. I don't care if you pull a top three class in 2025. Doesn't matter if you don't win because you won't be here very long. And that's the other side of that conversation where year two is not do or die by any means, but it is do because if you don't, the other side of that phrase is coming down the pipe. It's coming down the line if you don't. And I'm not saying he will. I'm not saying he won't. But this is where we're going to really find out, okay, we've seen already the Hugh Freeze recruiter. We've seen that. There were times last year after football games and those post-game press conferences that I was a part of where Hugh Freeze admittedly would say, yeah, I messed up here. We messed up here. We did this wrong. Should have done this, yada, 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 right? And that's great. How is he adjusted going into year two? That's what you have to find out. That's what is up for grabs, at stake, no pun intended here, on the line this season. That's what everybody's looking for.
I mean, no pressure, just the complete future of Auburn football is on the line this year, Coach.
Okay, no.
No pressure, bud. If you don't get it done now, we're finished. It's over. No, I'm picking up what you're laying down, and I joke saying that, but with all the transition in college football, specifically in the conference now, adding two absolute blue blood college football programs in Texas and Oklahoma, who are very sound and solid at the moment, not just in football, but in every sport, it is imperative for Auburn to have some success now in all sports, on the courts, on the fields, on the horseback and equestrian, you name it. Because if you mess around right now and have a couple of bad seasons, you're going to get buried.
Which is, were you here last week when I was talking about that? Auburn was taking advantage of a transition period. That may have been Friday when you were out.
Well, when there's chaos, though, there's opportunity to rise up.
Which is where Auburn sits right now.
Just like a Missouri or Ole Miss who's right now on the cusp preseason of making the college football playoff. Auburn's got to get to that step and get to that step very quickly, which it's easier to do in some ways with the portal and with NIL, but it's also harder to do because all the teams are doing it.
I'll say this. I think it's easier to get to that point, but I think it's harder to hold it than it used to be.
That makes sense. I mean, I was about to say it's easier to get there, but it's easier to lose it as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's easy to rise, but it's easy to fall.
I like that.
And I think that's where you stand in college football.
We'll start rising.
Let's start rising. 334-321-1390. I'm trying to get the phones worked out. Hopefully they do. You can also text us again, 334-784-1067. We'll get Hillman back on this show eventually. It's been like 3 weeks since we've had him on, so we'll get there eventually. And again, we appreciate you being with us. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap up the Monday edition of On the Line after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Appreciate you all being with us on the show today. Whether you've been with us for a segment, an hour, whole show, doesn't matter to us. We always appreciate you. And we always say nobody's working harder or having more fun than we are. And so we hope you can see that. We hope you can hear that, I guess. And it is an interesting couple of weeks here on the show. I told you guys this on Friday, but I will continue to remind you. Shows today, Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. No show for us Thursday and Friday. All right, I'm out of town. Uncle T-Bone's out of town. I'm going on a bachelor trip, so very excited for that. Going to see some old buddies from high school and really excited for that. So that's going to be end of this week. So no shows for us Thursday and Friday. And then taking a look at next week just to keep you in the loop on that as well. No shows for us, again, 2 to 4 on the line from Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday for the 4th of July. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week we'll do shows. Monday, Tuesday next week we will do shows. Kind of that time of year. Again, just keep that in mind. And then we'll be coming up on SEC Media Day. So that's exciting.
When is that, Jacob?
That is July 15th through the 18th. I believe that's when that is. Let me double check. Yeah.
Yeah, July that's 15th. No longer up in Bamerham, right? Over there in Hoover.
No, it is. It's been moving around the last couple of years. Okay. Was Atlanta 2 years ago, was Nashville last year,
nice.
And is in Dallas this year.
See, I mean, I'm just going to go back. Why don't they move that SEC championship game around? If they're going to move SEC media days around, give some of these great cities in the South an opportunity to host that big game as well.
I mean, I think it could happen eventually. Maybe. Greg Sankey seems to be sworn against it that it'll never happen. Never moving out of Atlanta. But I'd be fine with it. They're moving the basketball SEC tournament around. Why not? Yeah. Why not move the football one?
I mean, I'd love to go see Auburn if they can ever get back in the SEC championship game in the Superdome down in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Or in Jerry World in Dallas, or in Houston, Texas, or in Tampa. I mean, you know, after driving through Atlanta this weekend a couple of times, I'd have be fine with never going back.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy how busy it's gotten over there.
It is.
It's
even
bad.
On a Sunday mid-morning, it's the Indianapolis 500.
It's so bad. Oh, horrible. Well, again, that's sort of some updates for us. We'll have shows tomorrow and Wednesday. Tomorrow, we will have our Baseball Power Hour. Lindsey Crosby will be in studio for all of hour number one. And then Double D, Daryl Dappert, will be joining us on the phone lines, as I knock on wood there. Get him in for Tuesday. And then Wednesday, we'll have to, I guess, bump up our free-for-all Friday and make it on Wednesday. Huh? We'll have to see what we can get into on a Wednesday.
A wild Wednesday.
Sure. Yeah.
How about a Wild West Wednesday? We'll just let it rip.
Wild
what
West
if
Wednesday.
Wednesday?
What if, I mean, sure.
What if Nick Saban is still really in charge in Tuscaloosa?
What if?
Take a deep breath, Alabama fans. It's a big joke.
What if?
In and out.
There you go. And hey, by the way, we are working on getting Rivalry Wednesday revived a little bit. Jordan Hill, of course, of Dogs 247, joining us throughout the summer. We'll get him on at SEC Media Days, and he'll be joining us every week after that. And then working on a new Alabama representative as well, because Rivalry Wednesday, it's a hit. It's a success. People want to know what's going on over in Athens and going on up there in Tuscaloosa,
absolutely,
too.
It's important to realize that it's a great big wide world out there in SEC football, especially now. We need to have as much quality intel as we can get moving into this 2024 football season.
You're right about that. So again, short week this week, short week next week, and then a full week, and then SEC Media Days live from Dallas, Texas. Excited about that. We will continue to tell you, promote all of that good stuff that's coming up in just a few short weeks. Shout out the Orthopedic Clinic for bringing you the second hour of the show today, as they do every day, 3 to 4 here on ESPN 106.7. You'll be back on Wednesday, Uncle T-Bone. I'll be back tomorrow. Again, Lindsey Crosby talking baseball, hour number one. Daryl Dappert will be talking all things Auburn in hour number two. That is tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, stay safe. I'll talk to you later.